Welcome to Pre-ICAN CC3 Policy Open House. This is Thursday, 11th of October, 2018, 10 UTC. I'm Ozan Şahin from ICAN Regional Office in Istanbul. And before we get started, I would like to flag some information in the housekeeping rules that is located on the left bottom corner of your screen. Please note that this call has Spanish interpretation. And we will start with a briefing from Policy Development Support Team, which will last about 30 minutes. Then we will open the floor for questions. However, meanwhile, please feel free to type your questions or comments with recommended format in the chat box. I will keep an eye on the chat box and raise them in the Q&A section of the Open App. I will now hand it over to David Oller for his opening remarks. David.
Thank you, Ozan, and welcome everyone for joining our call today. I am pleased to present this open house pre-ICAN 63 presented by our policy development support team. This webinar provides high-level overview of the planned work and activities of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. Today also we are having the interpretation in Spanish for those who would like to take advantage of that, and so we're very welcome to all. We will also celebrate our community at ICAN 63 during the Community Recognition Program on Thursday, the 25th of October, where we'll recognize the contributions of leaders across the supporting organizations, advisory committees, and the nominating committee. Later that day, we will have an ICAN 20th anniversary celebration where we will toast ICAN's work since its inception in 1998. We hope you will join us at both of these special events. I would just like to, at this stage, note that the Barcelona meeting will have a large number of participants in person. Of course, we are also welcome to participate remotely. We have over 2,000 registered at the moment and 321 sessions. And with that, I'd like to start out with a bit of a poll to see how many sessions we're going to be doing that focus on policy and advice development at the ICAN meeting. And so we welcome you to say, out of the over 300 sessions at ICAN 63, how many will be supported by the policy team, basically supporting your work in the various working groups and council meetings during Barcelona. Thank you for that. The answer is 215. Over 72% of the sessions planned will be part of the work focused on the supporting organizations and the advisory committees. We also have some new graphics that talk about our policy and advice development processes. A global community of stakeholders and participants from many backgrounds permit us to help coordinate and support the unique identifiers of the Internet. And the Internet functions for everyone because everyone is invited to help make it work. Consensus policies developed through the multi-stakeholder model are highly effective and have the greatest legitimacy. So we would like to thank you for your work on a daily basis and your interest in our policy and advice work. We also will note that in at the meetings we will have many of our Spanish colleagues there, and we hope to have a very interesting and productive session. In particular, I'd like to highlight the cross-community and high-interest sessions at the meeting. Obviously of importance and of interest will be the General Data Protection Regulation, the expedited policy development process on the temporary specification for the generic top-level domain for registration data, and innovation in top-level domains. We know that will be of interest for all, and we look forward to hearing more at those sessions. With that, I'll turn it over to my colleagues who will give highlights of the policy and advice topics at ICANN 63. Yoke, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, David, and hello, everyone. My name is Joke Brake, policy advisor for the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, and I'm speaking to you from Germany. Welcome all, and I will provide you with a brief overview of some of the topics the CCNSO will address in Barcelona. So as you might know, the CCNSO Council has initiated the third CCNSO policy development process, which deals with the retirement of Country Code top-level domains, as well as the review mechanisms for decisions relating to the delegation, the transfer, the revocation, and the retirement of CCTLDs. So you will be able to receive updates on this topic during the CCNSO members meeting, which is open to all with an interest in CCTLD-related topics. I will pass the link to the agenda later on in the chat. So I will stop there regarding this topic, since we will address the work of this group further into detail in the next slide. The second topic the CCNSO will address in Barcelona is the IDN CCTLD recommended policy review. And please allow me to give you some background information regarding this. Since in September 2013, the CCNSO concluded its work on the IDN CCTLD overall policy, and this policy addressed the selection of IDN CCTLD strings and the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO. So this recommended policy will replace the fast-track process in time after adoption by the board. So the much-needed review of that proposed policy will start shortly. And during day one of the members' meeting, we will inform the CCTLD community and all other interested parties on the IDN CCTLD policy areas that need to be reviewed. A third item on the CCNSO agenda are the risks associated with the use of emoji in second-level domain names, as identified in the SAC advisory on the use of emoji in domain names, referred to as SAC 95. So following a board resolution on the adoption of SAC 95, the CCNSO Council established a study group which has as a purpose to provide a comprehensive overview and to document the issues associated with emoji as second-level domains and to document the practices of CCTLD managers that allow emoji as second-level domains. That brings me to the fourth topic, namely the Customer Standing Committee Effectiveness Review. So per its charter and also per the ICANN bylaws, the effectiveness of the CSC will initially be reviewed 2 years after its first meeting. And the first meeting of the CSC was in October 2016. And the next reviews will be conducted every 3 years. So since this review is due, the councils of the Generic Name Supporting Organization and the Country Code Name Supporting Organization recently adopted a method for a lightweight and a brief CSC effectiveness review. This review builds on the outcome and the findings of the CSC charter review and the results. Once adopted by both the GNSO and the CCNSO councils, will feed into the IANA functions review. Now, let's talk a bit more in detail about the CCNSO PDP on the retirement of CCTLDs, which is one of the major topics for discussion by the CCNSO in Barcelona. So what has been completed to date? The group made an analysis of the different retirement cases to date caused by a significant name change of the country or a dissolution of the country or a territory. I want to stress the importance of this evolving geopolitical landscape because this is directly reflected in the two letter codes that are included in the ISO 3166-1 list. The group also prepared a glossary of the relevant terminology, and that is mainly in the context of the retirement of CCTLDs and the removal of country codes from the ISO 3166 list. So what is currently under discussion are the core elements for the policy, such as the applicability of the policy to all CCTLDs, including those that are currently not a member of the CCNSO, the timeline for removal of the CCTLDs from DNS root zone, and a process leading from removal of the country code from the ISO list until the removal of the ccTLD from the DNS root zone. So the oversight of this process is also an element currently still under discussion. But as a next step, the group recommends that there should be a stress test of this recommended policy. Thank you very much. That concludes my update. I now hand it over to my colleague, Marika.
Thank you very much, Joke, and hello, everyone. My name is Marika Konings. I'm the Vice President of Policy Development for the Generic Name Supporting Organization, and I'm talking to you from a still dark Costa Rica. So thank you very much for joining us today. Continuing the trend that was set a number of meetings ago, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or GNSO, has carved out significant time at ICANN 63 for its policy development activities. The different policy development process working groups have all been allocated a substantial face-to-face time to progress their deliberations, with, for example, a full-day meeting on Saturday for the expedited policy development process team on the temporary specification for gTLD registration data, as well as several additional face-to-face meetings throughout the week. And in addition, the new gTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group and the review of all rights protection and mechanisms, or RPMs, in all gTLDs PDP working group also has significant time carved out to continue their deliberations. With the new gTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group focused on reviewing the comments received on its initial report and progressing the deliberations on geographic names at the top level, and the RPM working group expected to review initial survey results as well as possible enhancements to the uniform rapid suspension system. Bilateral meetings are also scheduled with the country code supporting organization, the CCNSO, and the governmental advisory committee, or the GAC, to discuss issues of common interest and or activities that have been jointly organized. For example, the GNSO and GAC are expected to discuss the status of the curative rights protections for IGO and INGO's policy development process, as well as the PDP 3.0, which is a GNSO initiative that is focused on enhancing the efficiency and effectiveness of the GNSO policy development process. During its Sunday session, the GNSO is expected, amongst others, to receive updates on the new approach for the fellowship program, further discuss what improvements should be implemented in the context of PDP 3.0, engage with the Internet Governance Engagement Group, receive an update from ICANN's Global Domain Division on the status of implementation of adopted GNSO policy recommendations, and conduct an interview with the two candidates for the GNSO chair position, namely Keith Drasek and Rafiq Damak. As many of you know, Tuesday is dedicated to stakeholder group and constituency internal meetings on the so-called Constituency Day. The Open GNSO Council meeting on Wednesday is expected to include topics such as the reconfirmation of the GNSO liaison to the Governmental Advisory Committee, consideration of the curative rights protections for IGO-INGO's PDP final report, and the termination of the next generation registration directory services to replace WHOIS PDP working group. In the second part of that meeting, the newly appointed council members will take their seats in addition to those council members that remain and continue their term, with their first decision being the election of the new GNSO chair. The GNSO then wraps up its activities at ICANN 63 with a wrap-up session on Thursday, which is expected to include the appointment of council liaisons to positions that have become vacant, with council members stepping down, appointment of volunteers to lead the GNSO review of the GAC communique, and a start of planning for ICANN 64. As several of you has expressed interest in hearing further details about some of the GNSO policy development activities at ICANN 63, we want to highlight two of these for you now. First of all, the expedited policy development process and the temporary specification for gTLD registration data, also referred to as the EPDP. This effort was launched by the GNSO Council on 19 July 2018, with the EPDP team convening for its first meeting on the 1st of August. Representatives have been appointed from GNSO stakeholder groups, as well as appointed representatives from the ALAC, the GAC, and the ESSEC, as well as liaisons from the ICANN board and ICANN org. In addition, anyone interested can observe the EPDP team deliberations by tuning in to the audio cast that is provided for every meeting, as well as access to a view-only Adobe Connect room. The scope of the EPDP team's effort includes confirming or not the temporary specification by 25th May 2019, which is the date that the temporary specification will expire. Additionally, the scope includes discussions of a standardized access system to non-public registration data. However, the discussions of a standardized access system will occur only after the EPDP team has comprehensively answered a series of gating questions, which have been specified in the EPDP team's charter. Since launching, the team has met 18 times, two meetings a week, 2 hours each, in addition to a number of small team meetings, and most recently completed its face-to-face meeting in Los Angeles. During this meeting, significant progress was made as the EPDP team tentatively agreed to consider a number of lawful purposes for processing domain name registration data for the next stage of its work, which also commenced during the face-to-face, which includes determining data elements required for these purposes, determining the applicable lawful basis, as well as the processing and parties involved. And all this is feeding into the EPDP team's responses to the charter questions. And as I noted previously, the EPDP team has carved out significant time at ICANN 63 to progress its deliberations with the objective of publishing an initial report for public comment shortly after ICANN 63. During the high-interest topic session, which is scheduled for Monday, the 22nd of October, from 3:15 to 4:15 Barcelona time, the EPDP team plans to share the outline for its initial report and recommendations with the community at ICANN 63. All EPDP team meetings are expected to be open to observers, although the right to speak may be reserved for EPDP team members to allow them to continue their work. For more information about this initiative, as well as other GNSO topics not covered today, I would like to encourage you to review the GNSO policy briefings, which are published prior to every ICANN meeting, to help ICANN attendees prepare accordingly. And with that, I will now hand it over to my colleague, Emily, to tell you a little bit more about one of the other ongoing GNSO policy development efforts.
Thanks, Marika. This is Emily Barabas. I'm one of the staff members supporting the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Policy Development Process Working Group, sometimes called SubPRO for short. So SubPRO was initiated in 2015. It's now been working for almost 3 years to review the 2012 round of the new GTLD program. And they've been looking at whether there are ways to improve or refine existing policies contained in the recommendations from the GNSO's 2007 final report on the introduction of new GTLDs, as well as whether new policies might be appropriate. The working group will be using its face-to-face time at ICANN 63 to meet several goals, drawing on input from the wider community and all of you. The working group published an initial report in July of this year, and the public comment period for that report closed in late September. The working group has been starting to look at that feedback, and it will be leveraging the face-to-face session to begin doing a deeper dive into reviewing the feedback that's been received. In addition, the working group is producing a supplemental initial report on some additional topics that the working group felt needed further consideration, and they've been debating those topics over the last few months. They now have a draft of that report, and they'll be seeking feedback on that draft. And finally, WorkTrack 5, which is a subteam of the working group focused on the treatment of geographic names at the top level, will also be meeting in Barcelona. The WorkTrack is preparing its own initial report and will be using its time together to make additional progress on that report. So the PDP will actually have a full day on Saturday, October 20th, to meet and talk about these issues. First, WorkTrack 5 will have its sessions in the morning from 9 o'clock to 1:15 p.m., and there will be breaks throughout that morning. And then the full group will be meeting in the afternoon from 1:30 until 6:30 p.m. local time. Again, there will be breaks throughout that period. All are welcome to join, welcome to participate, and your feedback and participation is encouraged. And now I'll pass it over to my colleague, Carlos Reyes.
Thank you very much, Emily. Hello, everyone. My name is Carlos Reyes, and I support the Address Supporting Organization. The Address Supporting Organization update for ICANN-CC3 is fairly brief. I'll mostly focus today on the second organizational review. This review concluded in 2017 and resulted in 18 recommendations. One of these recommendations called for consultations across the five regional internet registry communities to consider the future structure of the ASO. Since then, the Number Resource Organization Executive Council has considered the results of this process and provided 4 points as a way forward. The first point is that the numbers community relationship with ICANN should continue. However, it should be considerably simplified and its focus limited to number community matters. The second point, the number community representatives who participate in ICANN should be careful in appraising current and future proposed work items and be prepared to decline those work items that lie outside of the scope of the ASO. And the third point, there is a lot of confusion that exists between the labeling of the Number Resource Organization and the Address Supporting Organization to represent one relationship. So the NRO Executive Council will work with the ICANN organization to determine the viability of consolidating all number community participation in ICANN either as the NRO or the ASO. And then finally, the NRO supports ICANN in continuing its role and will continue the evolution of the number community relationship with ICANN. In terms of regional policy development, there are a number of proposals across the regions. Four proposals were considered at the APNIC meeting in September. One of those proposals reached consensus. The LACNIC community considered 6 proposals, and this was also the first time that they used their new policy development process, which was adopted in June. Last week at the ARIN meeting, there were 4 policy proposals. And then next week, the RIPE community will meet in Amsterdam, and they will consider 1 proposal. Finally, the AFRINIC meeting will take place in November, and that agenda is still being finalized. Even though there's robust activity at the regional level, there are no global policy proposals, which is the scope of the ASO within ICANN. At ICANN 63, the Address Council will have a workshop, and the ASO will also meet with the ICANN board. With this, I will transition to my colleague Heidi Ulrich, and we'll leave the world of the supporting organizations and move to the advisory committees. Heidi.
Thank you very much, Carlos, and good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm Vice President for Policy Development and At-Large Relations. Along with my colleagues Evan Agdunku and Sylvia Novanko, I will give you a preview of the key topics and activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC, and the At-Large Committee during ICANN 63. For those of you who may not be familiar with the ALAC, the 15 members of this committee represent the best interests of individual Internet users. The At-Large Committee, including the ALAC, currently consists of 231 at-large structures and 91 individuals across 5 regions. During ICANN 63, the ALAC will have a change in leadership with Maureen Hilliard taking over as the ALAC chair from Alan Greenberg, who has been stepping down after 4 years as the ALAC chair. There will also be 3 new ALAC members as well as several other new members of the at-large leadership. At-large will have 24 sessions during ICANN 63 with a focus on 2 main projects and 2 primary policy issues. I will briefly, let me speak a little bit louder. Thank you, Vinny. I will briefly describe these 2 projects while Evan will address the policy issues next. So the first project is the at-large review implementation. The at-large review implementation working group will continue to make progress on the 16 issues it is addressing, including their policy advice process, outreach and engagement, and communication. This working group has been meeting every other week since August, and at-large will spend considerable time during ICANN 63 discussing the issues highlighted in the review. Second project is the third Atlas Summit, or Atlas 3. Plans for Atlas 3 will be discussed during ICANN 63. Atlas 3 will be a smaller summit than the two previous at-large summits and will focus on the at-large review implementation. It will take place at ICANN 66 in Montreal. In addition, they will be meeting with the ICANN board, CCNSO, the GAC, the NCUC, the RSAC, and the SAC. I would now like to give the floor to Evan, who will discuss the ALAC policy issues. Evan?
Thank you, Heidi. Hello, this is Evan Erdoğdu, Policy Development Senior Coordinator, speaking from Istanbul, Turkey. The ALAC will be focusing on a series of policy discussions during ICANN 63 related to the General Data Protection Regulation, generic top-level domain subsequent procedures, follow-up from the KSK rollover, as well as continued EPDP activity. The ALAC members will be attending the EPDP sessions for most of Saturday. Since ICANN 62, the ALAC has ratified 14 statements, including two that will be ratified in advance of the annual general meeting. The At-Large Consolidated Policy Working Group held weekly calls since ICANN 62, developing ALAC statements and providing the community with regular updates on the EPDP. To see all at-large policy comments and advice, please visit the at-large website policy summary page. And now I will turn it over to my colleague, Sylvia Vivanco, at-large regional affairs senior manager. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Erin. Hello, everyone. This is Sylvia Vivanco. I will speak about the activities of the RALO, the Regional At-Large Organization. The RALO will hold the following meetings in Barcelona. Neuralo will hold a virtual General Assembly to discuss its work, its strategic priorities, and upcoming projects. The General Assembly will feature a special guest, ICANN senior staff, and Neuralo members. Neuralo and the at-large community will also co-host a networking meeting with a non-commercial users constituency for local academia, civil society, and individual users to engage with ICANN at the local community in Spain. The Afralo African community will hold its joint meeting at ICANN 63. Traditionally, this meeting addresses topics of great importance for the African region, and this time the topic will be the new GTLD subsequent procedures, community applications since the 2012 round, the concept of rounds, and community application recommendations. ICANN CEO, senior ICANN staff, and members from Afralo and the wider ICANN African community will participate in this meeting. There will be regional leadership activities of all the RALOs, which will focus on key policy topics and outreach and engagement activities. The five RALOs will hold a meeting to discuss issues of strategic importance, where common discussion and joint action is required. Some of these key issues are the implementation of the at-large review recommendations, joint outreach activities, and planning for the third at-large summit. To see more details on all of these meetings and events, please visit the at-large Barcelona wiki pages posted on the chat. Thank you, and now I will turn it over to my colleague, Bob Hogarth.
Thank you very much, Sylvia, and good day, everybody. I'm just going to spend a very few minutes giving you a broad overview of GAC activities planned for Barcelona. As usual, the GAC's meeting is going to be focusing in face-to-face plenary sessions on a variety or a mix of substantive as well as operational matters. The big change for this year is, and particularly for this meeting, is that the GAC will be participating in a high-level governmental meeting which will be taking place on the 22nd of October. That'll be the Monday during the Barcelona ICANN meeting. Right now we have identified over 90 different delegations who are specifically sending delegates for participating in Barcelona at the high-level government meeting. And I'll talk a little bit in a moment about the specifics of that meeting. In general, otherwise, the GAC is going to be focusing on a variety of specific substantive matters over 4 days and 30 sessions of work. I've listed the hottest topics on the slide that you have before you. The GAC is going to devote several hours to GDPR matters, including, as my colleague Marika mentioned earlier, some specific participation in the GNSO EPDP deliberations. There's also going to be a meeting with the ICANN board about the two-character country code concerns that a number of concerned countries continue to have on that issue. There will be discussions about geographic names in a number of different contexts, including the new GTLD subsequent procedures that Emily mentioned, as well as the Work Track 5 PDP efforts. The Cross-Community Working Group Workstream 2 Accountability is going to be wrapped up by the GAC in Barcelona. And so after the meeting, through the GAC communique, the working group chairs of that group will be notified of the result of the GAC's deliberations on that topic. And there will be further substantive discussions, as Marika also mentioned, with the GNSO about IGO curative rights protections. Of course, the GAC is going to focus its traditional priorities on the development of the GAC communique, as well as on direct discussions with not only the board, but with the ALAC, CCNSO, GNSO, Nominating Committee, and the PTI. And this is just a continued reflection of the increased engagement that the GAC has focused on the last couple of years to not only just meet on, you know, general topics and providing updates among their fellow structures and organizations within the community, but also really to focus on more substantive and topical items. On the next slide, I have shared more in slide-ument format, if you will, an opportunity for you all to look at and reference the specifics about the high-level governmental meeting that will take place on the 22nd. I'd just like to focus for the moment on the four topic sessions that are expected to be discussed by the delegates. In particular, they're going to discuss the role and opportunities for governments in ICANN, the thematic challenges in the IG ecosystem, and this particularly will focus on the bad actors, cybercrime, the need for data protection, and, of course, the important issue of privacy. In the afternoon of the full-day meeting, there will be discussions about the Internet technological evolution and how ICANN fits into that overall change in the industry, as well as a review of the global digital agenda and Internet policies, which at the moment seems to be developing into the most popular session in terms of the interest of statements and things like that by various countries. For all of you attending the Barcelona meeting, you'll be able to identify delegates to the high-level government meeting because they're going to have special orange ribbons. So we encourage all of you as members of the multi-stakeholder community, please reach out, welcome many attendees who will be at their first ICANN meeting, and we hope that there will be a valuable exchange of ideas, opportunities for networking, and developing new relationships. So I hope many of you will have an opportunity to at least sit in on a session or two or interact throughout the course of the week with the delegates from the high-level meeting. Thanks very much. I'll be happy to answer any questions at the end of the session. And in the meantime, I'll turn things, I think, back to my colleague, Carlos Reyes, to talk about the RSAC. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob. Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes again with an update from the Root Server System Advisory Committee. Three items to highlight today. First, the RSAC 040 publication. This document provides recommendations on anonymizing source IP addresses in DNS log files. The RSAC discusses four different methods for anonymizing source IP addresses, their advantages, disadvantages, and how each of the four different models can be used. The audience is intended primarily for the root server operators, although other DNS server operators may find the methods discussed useful. The next document is RSEC 039, and this is the RSEC response to the request from the ICANN board to consider the updated plan for the root KSK rollover. In its statement, the RSEC did not see any technical reason to delay the KSK rollover, which will be happening in a few hours here today. And then finally, the update on the RSEC organizational review. In June, an independent examiner concluded the second organizational review of the RSEC, and earlier this month, the RSEC delivered its feasibility assessment and initial implementation plan. That is now on the agenda for the ICANN Board Organizational Effectiveness Committee, and the OEC and the RSEC will engage in a discussion about moving forward with implementing some of the recommendations from the final report. I think that concludes the RSEC update, and I'll hand it over to my colleague Steve Shang, who will provide an update from the Root Zone Evolution Review Committee. Steve?
Thank you, Carlos. The Root Zone Evolution Committee, or RZERC, was formed as a result of transition to consider proposed architecture changes to the Root Zone. It composed of 9 community representatives. The RZERC in this quarter had a publication also on the KSK rollover as well. It was requested by the board in May for advice on this topic. After spending considerable time on this, the RZERC concluded and expressed confidence in the assessment made by the various bodies involved in producing the plan and also the related KSK research efforts. And with that, it did not see any reason to stop the roll, which Carlos mentioned happened in a few hours. The RZERC also really encouraged, once the initial rollover take place, that future rollovers be done at a predefined regular intervals, that we not to minimize the risk arising from static configurations that may harm future changes to the root key rollover. So that's a very brief update on RZERC. Now I'll hand over to my colleague Andrew to talk about SSEC.
Thank you, Steve. My name is Andrew McConaughey, and I support the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. The SSEC was also asked to review the updated plan for continuing the root key signing key rollover, the KSK rollover. The ICANN board asked the RSEC, the RZERC, and the SSEC to review this plan, and the SSEC ended up publishing SAC 102. The consenting opinion of SAC 102 was there were no issues with the updated plan for continuing the KSK rollover. There was, however, a strong dissent of 5 SAC members who believed that we did not have enough data and interpreted the data a bit differently. So that's SAC 102. At ICANN 63, the SAC will be giving an update on that and other publications, as well as be giving an update on the main collision analysis project, otherwise known as NCAP. The SAC will also be giving an update on their organizational review. The final report from the independent examiner should be published next week. Yes, the SAC has been under its second organizational review for the past few months. So with that, I will hand it over to the next person.
Thank you, Andrew. This is Ozan again, and we will now continue with the questions and answer session. And as you might have noted on the screen, and the Adobe Connect Room microphone rights have been enabled. So to activate your microphone, please click on the microphone icon at the top of the toolbar and follow the instructions. If you have any questions or comments, you may go ahead and raise your hand to get in the queue or type your question or comment in the chat box. I would also like to remind you to mute your microphone when not speaking. And I've already noted a few questions in the chat box. So the first question came from Jahangir Hussain regarding the NRO. And the question was, actually that was a comment, ICANN and NRO should take necessary initiatives to minimize the confusion between NRO, EC, NC, and AC. And I saw my colleague Carlos responded to this comment in the chat box and provide the link to Number Resource Organization Executive Council statement about the ongoing regional consultation to determine the future of address supporting the organization. So I hope that that response covers your comments, Jahangir. If not, please let us know. And as you think about any questions, I would like to also flag another question that we had in the chat box. So that was Nguyen Van Tuff. And the question was, what are the update points of the rights protection mechanism in all GTLDs? And I also see that my colleague Ariel responded that in the chat box. So please let us know, Nguyen, if you think your question has been addressed properly or not. And I see your comment now, so thank you. I see no other hands or comments or questions in the chat box at the moment. We have received some questions through the registration form, in fact. So while you think about any questions to ask post-development support team, let's go over the questions that fall within the remit of policy and development support department, as some of the participants who submitted the questions may be on this call. So I recall David briefly described the multi-stakeholder policy and advice development processes in the beginning of the call. As you may see, we have repeatedly received some questions about the policy development process. So let's address them. And one of the questions we had was, what kind of support background profiles do the different PDPs need? How can we achieve more policy development process participation and engagement by newcomers, fellows? How much participation does the Latin American Caribbean region have on PDP? And the other PDP-related question was, how long does the policy take before it is implemented, and also what processes does it go through? And another one was, with so few words as possible, try to explain the policy in general and how it will affect the internet and affect users. And it asked us to give some examples. So I would like to turn to Marika for a response for PDP-related questions. And any other presenters, please feel free to jump in if you'd like to add anything. Marika?
Thanks, Ozan. This is Marika again. I can provide some insight into the first two questions here on the screen, and I think the fourth one I already answered during my update. And again, I'll be talking to you from a GNSO perspective, from the generic name supporting organization, and you know, other colleagues may have further input from the perspective of the groups that they are supporting. So on the first question, as you may have heard, you know, there are quite a few policy development processes ongoing in the GNSO on a wide variety of topics. And typically, a call for volunteers will identify the type of expertise that may be particularly helpful, as well as the time commitment that is expected, as some of the PDPs may run over a 2 to 3 year time frame with weekly meetings. And from my personal perspective, I think the most important qualification is to come prepared to listen to others and understand the perspective of others, other participants, as this will facilitate arriving at a consensus position, which at the end of the day is, of course, the goal. In order to facilitate the engagement and participation of newcomers, all GNSO PDPs provide for the option to join as an observer, which will allow participants to follow the deliberations until they are comfortable to join as a full member of that effort. And similarly, many GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies dedicate significant time to assisting newcomers to get up to speed and enhance their familiarity with ICANN as well as policy development activities. Although we do not track geographic location of working group participants, this information is provided by GNSO participants through their statements of interest, which are publicly posted, as well as the membership of each PDP working group that's also publicly available. So you are able to review that information online if you are interested. With regards to the question on how long does it take for a policy to be implemented and what are the processes that are used for that, not every policy development process is the same, and the same goes for the implementation phase. However, once policy recommendations emerging from PDPs are approved by the GNSO Council and then subsequently the ICANN Board, ICANN's Global Domains Division, or GDD, implements them according to the guidelines that have been established in what is called the Consensus Policy Implementation Framework, or CPIF. This details the different steps of the implementation process, which includes the following phases. First of all, prepare, then plan, analyze and design, implement, and finally support and review. And it's estimated that the implementation phase can take between 1 and 2.5 years, depending on the complexity and extent of the policy recommendations. Our GDD colleagues actually maintain a website on ICANN.org where you can find further information, including estimated implementation timelines for ongoing projects. And I will post that link now in the chat so you can review that further if you are interested in that topic.
Thank you, Marika. This was Anne again. And now that the EPDP for GDPR question has also been covered in your update, I'll jump to other questions that that we received through the registration form. So another question we had was, what is the role of General Data Protection Regulation to root zone the NSSEC key signing key? Steve, would you like to provide an answer for this question?
Sure, happy to. I think in short, there's no role or impact of GDPR to DNS SEC KSK. KSK stands for key signing key. It's a public and private key pair. The private key is used to generate the digital signature for the zone signing key, and they do this, every so, via these key signing ceremonies. I think GDPR really concerns with the data for European and the European Union citizens and nationals, and also the transfer of data. And the primary impact of GDPR within ICANN is the Registration Data Directory Service, which my colleague Marika already gave a brief on that. So in summary, there's no role or impact of GDPR to DNS key signing key. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. And I noted another question from Nguyen in the chat box. And his question is if we will have any session which mentioned about blockchain and application into internet and the role of ICANN in management of new technology. So I'll see if one of my colleagues will be able to respond to that either in question or
Yeah, I can quickly respond.
Thank
to
you.
That. I'll also type into the chat. I know some registries, start to some of the newer registries start to use, offer, when blockchain in addition to domain names. I think so. This is something, a topic that some registries are looking to, but mostly as an auxiliary mechanism. So these are not really, changing the DNS or the way the DNS works. I will look forward to see if there are any sessions at ICANN63 to talk about blockchain, and I'll provide more information in the chat. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. I just noted Yoke provided some more information on the pulse development process question, so thank you for that. And I'm jumping to other questions as I don't see any hands raised or further questions raised in the chat box. So we did receive another question, and that was actually composed of three separate questions. So let's address them each separately. The first part of the next question is, how will emoji be used at second-level domains, and what are the applications? Steve, would you like to respond to that?
Yes, Ozan. Emoji is considered in a separate category in Unicode, that at the moment is not allowed by the IDN standards, by IDNA 2008. So in some sense, using emoji at second level domains, you risk to have a various interoperability issues because it's not allowed by the technical standard. We know there are, it is limited in usage and also leads to confusion in many places. There are some efforts in IETF to move the IDNA standard to the latest Unicode version 11, but that's preliminary work and ongoing effort at this point. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. So let's go to the second portion of this question. And it's when do ccTLDs reach retirement? And I also recall in Yoke's update for the CCNSO, this question has been covered. This also relates to another question that we received in Spanish just below this one, which can translate as, work on policy regarding the removal of high-level domains with country codes. So I know you already covered your case, two questions relating to retirement of ccTLDs, but do you have anything to add?
Hi, Ozan. Nothing really to add, but just to repeat perhaps that retirement of ccTLD happens when there is a dissolution of a country or a territory or a significant name change of the country, and this impacts then again the inclusion of the ccTLD in the ISO 3166-1 country list. Thank you.
Thank you again, Yoke. And I see that the last point of the question, the second question on the current slide, what are the advantages of the next generation RDS over the legacy suite, was also covered during this EPDP update. So I don't see any hand raised, and let me quickly go over the chat to see if there are any comments. One comment from Abdel Monem, and not only blockchain sessions, but also we need to know how this new technology affects the work of ICANN. So that's a comment from Abdel Manam. And let me lastly go back to the first question on
EPDP that we received, and ask my colleagues, Yoke and David, or any other colleagues who would like to respond. Would you like to add anything to the response Marika provided and then Yoke provided later on in the chat box?
Thanks, Ozan, on the question about a policy in general and how it might influence the Internet users. It's interesting to note a little history. The one major policy by the generic supporting organization, of course, was the establishment of the new top-level domain program. In 1980, top-level domains were few, about seven or so. And today we have over 1,000 that allow this competition and greater choice. If we look at the CCNSO, the internationalized domain names were a great innovation for allowing the use of different scripts other than Latin. And also the generic name supporting organization provided a portability of domain names similar to the telecommunication system. You have a telephone number portability, the same for domain names, again, by a reaction and requests of our communities. So these are some of the policies over time that help us organize and provide tools on the way we have an online presence for Internet users. So that just provides a little history and background of the importance of policy and advice development within the ICANN system and the domain name system. So I hope that's helpful. Ozan, are there any questions?
Thank you, David. I noted two things. One, we have only 1 minute left to conclude this webinar. Then a question from Mohammed Abubed, any official tools test the KSK rollover? And I noted that Abdulmonem responded with a link to this question. And then from Martin Zoe, what is the first goal's anonymization process you mentioned can be achieved in the future? Direct Carlos. And Steve Shang also responded to the blockchain question from Mohammed. Then let me see if there are further questions there. All right, so I see there are no further questions and we reached the top of the hour. I'll just turn it over back to David for his closing remarks. And before I do that, please be informed that the recordings will be available on ICANN.org after the sessions. I'll just paste the link in the chat box and I'll turn it over to David for his closing remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Ozan, and thanks to everyone who participated in the call for the active questions and comments. It was a good way of exchanging information, and we appreciate that. With that, I look forward to seeing people in Barcelona at ICANN 63 or listening to your voices on remote participation. Both are excellent ways of following and engaging in our policy development and advice processes at ICANN and other parts of ICANN's activities. You'll be able to follow at the website. With that, I wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be. Thank you for your participation on this call, and we hope to see you soon in person or remotely in Barcelona. Safe travels to all. Thank you.